make them walk down here. Amen. It's on. You might want to turn it off after a little while. John chapter 15. Turn to John chapter 15. I tell you, the last month has been crazy. And with weather and my dad, Ladies' Day, and then actually started when my dad got put in a nursing home. He didn't want to be there. He told my stepmom, he said, "I've been looking for a way out of here. I just can't find one." And it doesn't surprise me that he wanted out. But now he's in heaven with Jesus, and that's a better place for him. But when preacher asked me to preach tonight, I started preparing a sermon, and God said, "Nah, I think you need to go in another direction." I know this was for me. As I studied it, and if you don't get nothing, that's okay, because God gave it to me. And it was good to see my kids. Circumstances weren't great, but it's always good to see my kids. They live all over. And so I got plenty of places to go on vacation, but it was good to see my girls and Nick. And I hate they live so far away. But I'll tell you this, Beth, that Sunday Beth was here, we were doing snow cones, and she texted me from the pew in here. She goes, "Dad, can I help? I miss doing stuff like that at church." I said, "Come on out." And it wasn't long after that, my daughter Danielle texted me, said, "Dad, can I help?" Amen. And I just praise God for kids that want to serve God. John chapter 15. We're going to start in, we'll start in verse 1. Wrong hanky. Don't want to wipe my face with that one. Oh, there it is. This is the one. John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1 and work our way down. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. For ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." It's amazing how many people try to live the Christian life without abiding in the Lord. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. I pray, Lord, that you'd give my lips the words to speak, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the people here. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take control of this service. Lord, I only know that what I can say, but Lord, it's what you can do in the hearts of these people. I pray, Lord, that you bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. As I started preparing this, I started thinking of the last couple of weeks of my life and how not only busy, but the things that God allowed to come in to my family's life. And so this kind of really, it helped me, and hopefully it'll help you. I want you to look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want to talk to you about joy. We've all heard statements like this: I am just finished. I can't do it anymore. I'm just tired of it. I'm done. These statements will tell you a lot about a person's spiritual state. These things are said because of a lack of joy in the heart. A Christian without joy is in a dangerous place. While bitterness, unfaithfulness to church, heart hardness, jealousy, covetousness can be joy stoppers, they also can be the results of a lack of joy. You know, I can never figure out bitterness. It's like drinking poison and hope somebody else gets hurt. I never understood why people, I know it happens. God has allowed me not have that in my life. I've never really been bitter. But I know it's taken a lot of people down. Unfaithfulness to church, heart hardness, jealousy, covetousness, these things can all stop joy or be a product of no joy. Let's just face it. If I could ask you to be honest with me tonight, and that's all I'm asking you to do is to be honest tonight and with yourself. But if we could have a show of hands, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would venture to say that we're all not doing as well as we talk, we act, and we look. Would that be a fair statement? Let's just be honest. We're not doing all of us aren't doing as good as we think we are. And I think the problem stems back to joy. Now, I'm by no means an expert, but I know what God told me the last couple days as I studied this. See, we're tired and we're wore out with the fight and our circumstances and all that goes on with life. Now, Billy Sunday said this: if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Sam Storm, I have no idea who he is, he said this: joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. D.L. Moody said this about joy: the Lord gives his people perpetual joy when we walk in obedience to him. C.S. Lewis said this: joy is the serious business of heaven. Folks, we can't live without joy. I mean, we can. We're not going to die. But who in here likes to walk around miserable all the time? Me and Melissa and Madeline and my kids, you'll forgive me, but around the holidays, we always watch that movie Elf. And he makes a statement in there. He says he's an angry elf. And when we see people that are bitter or mean or just, you know, cranky, we say he's an angry elf. And we all know what that means to us. We all know, you know, it's just a joke that we have, but who wants to walk around with no joy in their heart all their life? Now, we must understand that our joy is not found in people. Do we understand that? Our joy is not found in the people sitting here with you. Our joy is not found in places. Although there's some beautiful places, and if you want to send me to the Bahamas, I'll gladly go. But that does not determine my joy. Our joy is not in institutions or circumstances. Our joy is not determined by the circumstances we are in at this present moment. We put a lot on our circumstance. Well, my circumstance. No, you don't have to bow down to your circumstances. Jesus knew what faced him. I don't think that was really good circumstances coming down the road to get nailed to a cross. But he did it willfully. He did it joyfully for us. I've heard people say, they took my joy. Can I tell you that nobody took your joy? You gave it away. Over in John chapter 22, it says, in verse 16, 22, it says, and your joy no man taketh from you. So where does our joy go? We have to give away our joy. Because nobody takes it from, nobody runs up with a bottle and puts your joy in a bottle and runs off. Nobody can take it from you. Our joy is something that we should always, always treasure. Turn to Acts chapter 13. I don't know if you ever saw this verse. I never saw it. I've read this, read my Bible. I just... I can't say a light went on, but I was like, wow. Look at verse chapter 13. Let's start at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast, but they shook off the dust their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with what? And the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. God gives us that joy. God fills us with joy. We don't earn our joy. We don't earn our joy by being happy. God has already put it in us. So why do we try to keep making ourselves happy so we have joy? It's already there. Unless I'm reading that wrong. It said they were filled with joy. It's already there, folks. You don't have to hear a joke and laugh to be happy to have joy. It's already there. You have it. If your joy comes from the Lord, we can never be without joy. Let me say it again because I like that. If our joy comes from the Lord, we can never be without joy. So you're not joyless. Your joy may not be manifested. Your joy may not be bubbling out, but you are not without joy. Because God put it there. 1 Peter 1 and 7 and 8, that love that we have for him that we have never seen gives us that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He is the joy supplier. We love Jesus and yet we've never seen him. And that same person gives us joy, although we still have joy in Jesus Christ and we've never seen him. We've never met him face to face. He gives us... How do you love Jesus? We've never met him. God puts that love for Jesus in your heart. And that's where he puts our joy. Hey, I'm not always joyous, trust me. Two Tuesdays ago, I wasn't very joyous. My dad's buried right back there. That's not fun. And those of you that had to do it know it's not fun, but it's something we have to do. But I wasn't full of joy when I had to do it. But it was still there because God filled me with joy. So it leads me to say this. When my joy seems gone and we feel like the world is crashing in on us, our joy remains. The word joy in 1828 dictionary says happiness, a glorious, triumphant state, to gladden, to exhilarate. Boy, did I spell that wrong. Spell check didn't work for me. Happiness, a triumphant state. Can I tell you that's where we're supposed to be? Because it doesn't matter how bad it gets. As long as we understand, number one, He gives us our joy, and number two, He's in control. Pastor Meyer said the other night, I was going to write it down because I felt like I needed to, but He directs our steps. And everything He does is good. We just might not understand it at the time, but it's good. We get in things into our life, and the first thing that goes will be our joy. In the Greek, joy means delight. Are you delighted in Jesus? Man, I started thinking about all the things He's done for me. And if you took out a paper and pencil and started writing the things that He writes, that He's done for you, and you start writing them down, you're going to use a lot of paper. But see, when we get to that state where we think, oh, my joy's gone, I have no joy, start writing those things down. The loved ones He saved in your family. The prayers He's answered. I don't know about you, but I'll say, I can't fathom the stuff that He's done for me. Because I deserve none of it. You know, as good as of Christians we think we are, He knows the truth. See, because the people in here only see us on Wednesdays and Sundays. But He sees us every day. So He knows what we're really like, and yet, when we pray and we ask Him for things, or He knows our needs, He gives them to us. You start writing those things down over a course of time, and I'll guarantee your joy meter will start filling up. It will start coming off the E and start going towards the F. Full of joy. Burr Lancaster, how can I get my joy meter full? This is what God gave me. You can use it if you want to. I hope it helps you. Number one, how can we get my joy meter full? Number one, when we are in the will of God. When we are in the will of God. They say the most miserable person is a disgruntled Christian, an unhappy Christian, because he don't fit in with the world and he don't fit in with the church. But see, but when we're in the will of God, we're in that perfect place. A man wrote this. I promised Pastor Meyer I won't walk too much because of my knee, but I lied. I read a book about storms. And the man that wrote the book had a normal life. He was an assistant pastor. He taught Sunday school, did all the stuff that assistant pastors do, and he came down with this illness, and it's about this long, so I can't say it. He eventually became, the only thing he could do was sit in a wheelchair and write. He made this statement in his book. He said, the will of God is not always a pleasant place, but it is always a perfect place. It is not always pleasant, but it's perfect. It's perfect. And if it's perfect, then my joy should be full. Because He ordained it. in the will of God. I'm talking about when we are busy doing the things of the Lord and we enjoy doing it 100%. Not just coming to church because we have to, not just teaching my Sunday school and looking at a verse or two so I can teach my Sunday school class, but when you do it 100% and you're in it. When you can't wait to get to church. When you're keeping His commandments. When you're keeping His commandments. Yeah, I repeated myself. Listen, I know we all don't like this, all this book. There's some things in here when we read it, our flesh says, But who's in control, your flesh or the Lord? See, the only reason you won't obey something that's in this book is just because you don't want to. Because if you don't believe it, it doesn't make it wrong. It's still in here. Amen. See, because when we're in the perfect will of God, I believe that helps our joy meter. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21 says this, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let me ask you something. Are you well-pleasing in His sight? That's being in the will of God. To be well-pleasing to the Lord is to be in the will of God. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. See, when we're fully sold out and we're fully in God's will, I believe that helps our joy. Because we're doing what God has called us to do. A Christian that is not happy and has no joy is not doing what God has called them to do. Because there's a struggle. There's a struggle between doing what God has called us and doing what your own will wants to do. There's a struggle there. So therefore, you're not happy. The best thing you can do is give in to God and just get happy. You know, when your Sunday school class goes well and you lead somebody to the Lord, your joy meter moves. You ever see somebody after they lead somebody to the Lord? Number one, they can't believe it, that God used them to do it, but they're happy. Man, I got to lead somebody to the Lord. There's somebody going to heaven that was going to hell. I got to lead somebody to the Lord. Being in the will of God will help with our joy. Number two, when we thank God for His goodness. Number one, when we're in the will of God. Number two, when we thank God for His goodness. See, we become so accustomed to the things that God does for us on a daily basis, we don't even think about it anymore. So therefore, when we don't think about it, we don't thank Him for it. We pay it no mind. Never mind, He lets us breathe His air, gives us strength, meets our needs, and blesses us. You know, Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good. Psalm 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Listen, folks, He is good. He is good to us. And if we realize that and we praise Him and thank Him for His goodness and realize we don't deserve any of it, I believe our joy meter just takes a little tick up. Because we understand that He's doing it for me because He loves me. And if you ever figure out 100% God's love to us unconditionally, you let me know, because I've thought about it for a long time and I still can't figure it out, preacher. Yes, I understand the concept. I understand the concept of unconditional love. But to believe that somebody loves me unconditionally, no matter what I do, he still loves me. That's not in us as human flesh. We can try all we want. But that unconditional love is good for us. He is good. Testify about how good God's been to you. I don't do it a lot because I guess I'm more of a private person when it comes to that stuff. But we need to praise God more. Because if we thought of it, when preacher said, "Who wants to praise the Lord?" every hand in this auditorium should have went up. The Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. You want God to show up, start praising him. We can praise the Lord more than we do. You know, I always used to pray every day, every time we ate dinner. Before I even went to Bible college, I praised God for traveling mercies that it gave me traveling back and forth to work. And I'll tell you what, when I was on the road traveling in evangelism, let me tell you what, traveling mercies are much needed on the roads today. I'm the only one that drives right. Everybody else is wrong. I can never understand why somebody puts their turn signal on and stops to turn right. That drives me crazy. You can't continue the motion? They come up to an intersection, they stop, turn. Make the turn already, will you? I'm not so joyful when I drive. But I've dealt with the people on the highway and the tractor trailers. And I had a tractor trailer push me into one of them concrete medians almost. I could have reached out and touched it like that. I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? I know you're bigger than me, but I was here before you." But see, we need to praise the Lord for things. And there's things everybody in this room could praise the Lord for, and we should. We shouldn't be silent. Not only that, the world needs to hear us praise him at work. Amen. Let me say that again. The world needs to hear us praise him at work and testify at work what God has done for you. Number three. We can move our joy meter when we thank him for his amazing grace. Aren't you glad for grace? We'll never understand it, God's grace completely, but we thank him. We should thank him for it every day. He kept you from hell. That he let somebody share the gospel with you. You get to come to church. You don't have to. You understand that? You get to come to church. God allows you to come to church. You don't have to come. You could have stayed home. God lets us get involved in this ministry, his ministry. God lets us do those things. We don't have to, but he lets us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How often do we praise him for his grace? I need it every day. You know, his long suffering, his patience, his grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in the time of need. Where would we be without grace? I think sometimes God looks down from heaven and says, "There he goes again. He needs more grace." Aren't you thankful that God won't run out of grace? Every time we need it, it's there. We don't have to wonder if we're going to get any. God, you got any grace today? No, we don't need to say that. We don't even need to ask that question because we know He does. And He gives it to us and we don't even have to ask Him for it. And then we realize later in the day, man, God just showed me some grace. And then we forget to thank Him for it. And we wonder why our joy is low. See, it's all about praising God and enjoying the Lord and doing His will. That's what makes us, that's what should make you happy. If coming to church and serving God and doing all the things we do around here doesn't make you happy, you're in the wrong place. And if you can't enjoy it now, you won't enjoy it in heaven. My dad and grandmother are in heaven. That's going to be a time. And many of you got loved ones. And that's going to be a time. But yet, we fail. Maybe you're a better Christian than I am. You probably are. But we fail to praise God for those things. Amazing grace. How amazing is it that He takes an alcoholic and cleans him up, saves him and cleans him up? A drug addict. I have no idea, but do you know how many people that are in pulpits preaching the gospel that were either addicted to drugs or alcohol? That's amazing grace. Amazing grace that He lets us live. Good thing I'm not God. One, two, three, done. See, He has amazing grace. He just doesn't have grace. He has amazing grace. I didn't want my dad to suffer anymore. I had to take him off life support. Oxygen was the only thing keeping him alive. I watched him take his last breath. And it was amazing grace because he didn't struggle. He took his last breath and his head just went like this. Over. Amazing grace. And lastly, we can fill our joy meter when we make Jesus our best friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He laid down His life for His friends. Our joy can be filled when we make Jesus our best friend. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He loves us. He prays for us. Here's the thing. How much do you really know about Him? Oh, we know who He is. And we know He died on the cross for our sins. But how much do you know about Him? See, if I asked you about your best friend, you could tell me a whole lot of things. Probably some things I don't want to hear. Probably some things I shouldn't hear. But if I ask you about Jesus, what are you going to tell me? Always born, where he was born. He was born a virgin. He died on a cross. He was buried and resurrected 3 days later. And that's about the extent that most people know about Jesus Christ. What about his life? What about the things he said? We want joy. We have it. He already filled us with it. And nobody took it from you. You gave it away. But I believe those four things God given me to help me with my joy and what he wants from me. Bottom line is, when our relationship and our fellowship and our worship are wrong, we have no joy. Hey, when your relationship with the Lord is wrong and you're not right with him spiritually, and your fellowship is wrong and your worship is wrong in the pew, we have no joy. And then we wonder why we're tired and we can't fight the fight and we're tired of the fight. Hey, right now I'm tired. Not only working in the church, but mentally with the hospital and the nursing home with my dad and work. I said, Lord, I need some. I'm wore out. Praising, being thankful, and his will, our joy will overflow. Remember, our joy comes from him and not our circumstances. And our circumstances should not hinder what God has put in us. And I'll repeat this again. God's will is not always a pleasant place, but it's a perfect place. Simply want to ask you tonight, how's your joy? Where's your joy meter at? Is it pegged on full? I always like when I go to the gas station, I put extra gas in, I get my car and turn it on, and it's past the F. It's over full. I like that. But when I think, listen, when I was traveling, I'd see gas on the road. I'd be like, okay, it's $2.60. I need about $30 will fill it. That's how I went by where I got gas. I'd be like, okay, $30, I got this. And I'd pump that gas and get in my car, and it'd be just a little below the F. I'd be like, man, I got it wrong. I want it to be full. And every time I did that, and it went past the F, and it was really, really full, I liked that. That's where I want my joy at. I want my joy over the full, because when something comes in my life, I don't want it to hit E. That's not a good place to be. In your gas tank, Mrs. Gilmore. Not E. F. Full. We just laugh because I know she likes to get the most out of her gas. But how's your joy, and where's your joy meter at right now? Is it full? Or does it need a little fueling? I'm going to ask you, if your joy is empty, I'm going to ask you in a second to come to the altar and ask God to fill your joy tank back up. Not because of what I said, because I know this was for me before God said to you, if he said anything at all. I might be up here just talking to myself, and you all just got to watch me talk to myself for 35 minutes. How's your joy? Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Father, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to serve you. Thank you for an opportunity.